HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. I am an assistant editor at Mint. I keep a close track of all that is happening in the world of stock markets. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. Despite the serious impact of COVID-19 pandemic on the Indian and global economy, the year 2020 is ending on a positive note for stock market investors. Markets are at fresh highs as we are set to enter the year 2021. However, it is a foreign liquidity-driven rally, and there is a question about how long will this rally last in Indian markets in the year 2021. To discuss that, I'm joined by Shayan Mukherjee, Head of India Equity Research, Nomura. Hi Shayan, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome.
Hi Nasreen, thanks.
So Shayan, as we were discussing a while back, you seem to be a bit cautious about Indian markets. I understand there is a virus concern, but what I want to know from you is what leads your outlook for Indian markets in 2021?
No, so we actually have seen a very strong rally, right? I mean, sometime towards the later half of this calendar year, there was risk on, a lot of liquidity in the market, which helped move the stocks higher. Also, if you see, the quarterly results turned out to be somewhat better than what people were expecting. Particularly, the second quarter was actually quite good because, you know, the listed universe was able to cut cost. There was a lot of impact of pent-up demand because Q1 of the fiscal year was a washout. I think people got excited with that, supported by liquidity. And also, the news on the COVID front started to improve. If you look at India, we had, the number of cases coming down after it peaked in September. Incrementally, the news flow on the vaccines front turned out positive. So these were the ingredients which fueled the market rally. And now today, as we see the valuations for the market, if you look at Nifty, for instance, it is touching close to 23 times 1 year forward, which is more than, you know, what we had seen as an average, which is typically high teen kind of a valuation multiple. So given this strong rally that we had seen, I think it is appropriate to kind of step back and see where the fundamentals are. And our assessment is that fundamentals are actually lagging behind. I think it would be inappropriate to extrapolate the strength in some of the data points that we have seen in the recent past, because, you know, we kind of had a unprecedented situation. Almost 60% or more of the economy was shut down for the large part of, you know, quarter one. So when you shut down something and then it starts opening up, you know, you do see a surge because of pent-up demand. Also, as economy opens up, the quantum of activities is typically a lot higher than when it is in a steady state. Also, companies, you know, are still cautious with COVID in the sense that you still do not know how things will play out. So companies tend to, you know, keep a lot more inventory with them. And therefore, you kind of supply those inventories. So that is not an indication of the end demand, end consumer demand. So all these factors actually give you an impression that, the numbers are quite strong and there's a strong recovery. But these factors, beyond a point, will not last. Whether it is filling up the inventory or the pent-up demand, it tends to kind of fade away. So I think that's the concern that we carry. And when we look at some of these high-frequency data, it doesn't convince us that there is a sustained recovery. And there is a good chance, of things actually slowing down. So for instance, you know, if you look at electricity data, which looks good on a year-on-year basis, but we need to remember that last year was a weak base because of heavy monsoon and, you know, the demand from agriculture, which is almost 18 or 20% of the total electricity demand, you know, fell quite significantly. And there is this work from home, which also, is leading to higher residential electricity consumption, for instance. So, and when you look at in details, for instance, in some of these high frequency data, we realize that there are risks around. Also, the fact of the matter is that, you know, what our analysis suggests is that if you look at the first half, right, I mean, quarter one and quarter two of the fiscal year, cumulatively, we had around $190 billion compression in the overall economy. You know, our analysis suggests that the most of this impact has been borne by the households. In fact, the government's impact is just around 30%.
Right.
And the remaining 70% is either borne by the household or smaller businesses. The larger businesses actually managed well because they could cut down costs, right, by reducing wages or by, cutting costs, which impacts the smaller businesses. Mm. And smaller businesses would tend to pass on this impact to their employees. So I feel that, the consumer or the households have seen the most impact of this slowdown.
Right.
And to that extent, I think even before the COVID hit us in March, things were slowing down.
Yes.
And we were seeing the propensity to spend actually fell in fiscal 20 compared to the previous year. So I think there are structural issues on the demand side. Also, there are structural issues which the banking system faced, and the credit growth wasn't as strong. And we had seen slowdown in credit, which still, by the way, continues. Mm. So overall, I think all these are indicators that we need to, give some more time and analyze this high frequency data rather than jumping to a conclusion. So our view is that whatever rally you have seen in the market, a dominant part of that rally is driven by liquidity. And at the margin, of course, I mean, our view is that liquidity may remain strong, but the kind of flows that you have seen incrementally, it may not be as strong as it was, earlier. And therefore, I think, the growth may disappoint or disappoint the expectations, at least in the shorter term. And therefore, it's better to be very selective and cautious in the market and just not get carried away by, the rally that we have seen.
Right. So few things that you said are about the steep valuations, basically driven by better than expected September quarter results. And second that you're talking about is the pent-up demand, which of course isn't at pre-COVID level, whereas we started the year with demand at slower pace. As we speak, there is a fresh development of a new strain of virus in the UK with new travel restrictions imposed. Now, if there are further lockdown, how much of it will impact markets' outlook going ahead?
Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, as a base case, we are not factoring in a major disruption. And, that is based on the fact that, the understanding of the disease is much better than what it was at the start of the year. You have seen consistent drop in mortality, not only in India, but across the world. Also, the vaccine, which obviously at the margin will be a significant, element in controlling the pandemic. So our base case does not impact the disruption. We still do not know how the new strain that you talked about is going to impact, because what I understand from the experts is essentially that, such kind of mutation and new strains developing in viruses is common. There is nothing to suggest that the current treatment protocol or even the vaccine would be ineffective at this point. But I take your point that I think we are dealing with a pandemic of this scale for the first time. It's a novel virus, and therefore, we may have surprises.
Besides, you spoke about liquidity-driven rally. There is an additional U.S. fiscal stimulus of around $900 billion. How long do you think global money will keep supporting Indian markets? Because at the moment, there is no support by the DIIs.
I think the liquidity obviously, is a big, big contributor in my assessment. I mean, the kind of expansion that we have seen in the central bank balance sheet is unprecedented.
Right.
And we have seen, proportionate amount of flows coming into India and supporting valuations. Now, look, going forward, right, I think it's a relative game. And, one of the points that I want to highlight is based on our own economic team's forecast, right? So if you look at the forecast of India's GDP growth between calendar 20 and 23, calendar 20 and 22, right? So I am basically, taking CY19 as the base.
Right.
And, we are kind of ignoring this particular year, which is a aberration in a way. So if I start from December 19 to December 22, and I look at the growth expectation versus what is the expectation globally, I think the growth differential between India and the rest of the world is at a 17-year low.
Mm.
Right. Now, the point is that I think that's a bit of a concern for me, because investors do expect India to grow much faster, right? Given the potential that the country holds. So I think, the liquidity support in general will be there, but at the margin, I think if the growth disappoints in India and the growth is stronger in some of the other economies, you will find, in my view, that incrementally, the flow of liquidity into the country may come down somewhat from the levels that we are seeing at this point in time. So it is important that we kind of get the growth back.
So, Sean, how do you think India is going to recover growth, considering the economy is mostly dependent on rural demand and urban demand is almost missing up after COVID? Economists are also penciling in a rural demand recovery led by monsoon and government support package. So what's your take?
Yeah, so Rasmi, you're right. I mean, rural India is doing better. Agri is one sector which has actually delivered positive growth through this pandemic. And also, if you look at the government support for rural India has been better. So the expenditures by the ministries and departments which are linked to rural India is higher. It's all up almost 13% year on year if I look at the central government. And against the total expenditure being flat. Also, things like MNREGA allocation has been increased. So I think rural India is relatively better off, but it's not something which is rocking in the sense that, you still have an impact which will have an impact on rural India because of overall slowdown. Remittances are going to be lower. So those things are likely to have an impact on rural India as well. But nonetheless, rural India is definitely better than urban India. But in the second half of this fiscal, and also as we look forward to the budget for next year and think about expenditure for the next year, and I hope it is a pro-growth budget where the government steps in to revive growth even at the cost of higher fiscal deficit.
So, Sean, what's your earnings expectations for FY22 and FY23 as September quarter earnings was better than expected, no doubt, but it was mostly led by cost rationalization by companies into things like low crude prices and they were low, other raw material costs were down and there was almost nil travel costs by most companies, which I think, or which most analysts are saying, will may wear off soon as the economy picks up again. So what do you think will be the earnings in FY22 and FY23?
Now, there are two, three points, which when I look at the earnings in detail, which are a concern area for me in terms of the kind of expectations we already have. So firstly, if you look at, sectors like consumption sector, right? There is a complete divergence that I see between the overall income growth and the revenue growth for these companies. I think it's a lot higher than what the overall income growth is likely to be. Secondly, commodity prices. If you look at the EBITDA margin for the non-financial, non-oil and gas space, this is at an all-time high compared to the last 10 years. So we are, the consensus is projecting the EBITDA margin to be at an all-time high. And thirdly, financials, right? Financials also are a big contributor to earnings. And incrementally, when you think about growth in financial between fiscal 20 to fiscal 23, almost 30% of the incremental profit growth is coming from financials. And there, for the larger banks, there is expectation that the credit cost would be at a multi-year low because there's a lot of provisioning done and all of that. But if your broader economic growth is going to be slower, then there is an inherent risk of your credit cost actually going higher. But that will probably pay out in FY23 because what companies have done or the banks have done essentially is they have already provided a lot for COVID in Q4 and Q1 of this year, right? So therefore, to that extent, the provision coverage ratio is quite good. And we think that in the very near term, it's possible, like when you look at fiscal 22, that the credit cost actually undershoots. But, as you go through this next year, you will start talking about fiscal 23 and all and beyond. And that's where I think some of those assumptions can get challenged. So broadly, I think overall revenue growth, margin expectation and credit cost. These would be three main concern areas as far as corporate earnings are concerned, given that we are already factoring in a 20% CAGR between fiscal 20 and fiscal 23.
Right. All right, Shyam, thanks for that insightful conversation. Of course, when I sit to talk with you, there are many things to discuss, but time is short today. Thanks again for giving your time and wish you a very happy new year.
Thanks, Nasreen. Happy new year too.
Thank you. For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.